As parents, it's our job to prepare our children for the future. The more tools and preparation we can give them, the greater chance they have to be successful. In today's episode, I'm going to share how I taught 150 girls that God still loves them even when life isn't fair. We then explore how you can create your own teaching opportunities for other gospel principles that you want your children to understand while they are still with you in your own home.
Welcome to the My Teaching Matters podcast, where our mission is to help you, the intentional parent, to teach your children in such a way that they can personally experience the power of Jesus Christ while still at home.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the My Teaching Matters podcast. I'm Leslie Johnson, and I'm here today with my daughter, Lindsay Jensen.
Hi, everyone. So, Mom, today, you did something like really cool last week. Well, I say it's really cool. It is cool. Lots of people have experience with this. But can you tell us where you were last week and what happened?
So last week was girls' camp for our state, and I was asked to be in charge of creating an experience for these girls for girls' camp. Our theme was how sweet it is to be loved by you. And so everything we did was based around this theme, the speakers that we had, the activities that we did. We were trying to help, you know, our goal was to help these kids, these girls, understand how much God loved them and how much their leaders loved them and how much they needed to love themselves. And, you know, this whole idea about their self-worth and who they are and what it means to be loved by God and by their fellow men.
So you're at girls' camp, and that was the theme. Like, that was the idea.
Yeah,
and so you're not in charge of, like, you weren't in charge of all of girls' camp, but you were in charge specifically to do an activity to help the girls understand this bit, right?
Yeah, so they wanted an activity that would be fun for the girls, but that also would have something meaningful, a kind of a takeaway from their activity. So they asked me to design something for them.
Gotcha.
We had like 134 girls or something like that, and then 40 leaders, like 170 people that were there. So it was a big group. It was here in Utah, and it was a stake activity, so it was a big group. And I was kind of wondering, you know, how with this big of a group can you have an individual experience where they might be touched and learn something that was important for them? And so this all started actually over a year ago, because this was supposed to have been done last summer, but COVID hit, and then obviously, nobody could go anywhere, and so we didn't get a chance to do it last year. But I've been thinking about this experience for quite some time now. And the parameters that I had to work with was they wanted something fun. They wanted something that fun that the girls would remember and have a good time with. But my own agenda was, I love things that are fun, but I also think that fun things can be purposeful. And so I wanted to try to make sure that it was purposeful. So anyway, we decided that we would do a spy academy where we would help the girls become qualified secret agents.
Well, can I back up a minute, Mom?
Yes.
So I do want you to tell me about the activity. But first, so tell me what was your goal? So when you say you want it to be meaningful, what are you wanting them to take away from it? What do you want? What are you thinking here?
Well, that's kind of where I was going with this.
Oh, okay.
They wanted this secret agent spy academy kind of thing. And so I'm thinking, okay, that's great. So what can I do with this theme that could be meaningful, that could actually teach a lesson or be meaningful? And I guess I decided that what I wanted these girls to understand is that God's love for them is unconditional. And I think that they've heard that. They know, you know, at least on a cerebral level, they know that, right? But I thought part of the issue that we have sometimes is that even though we've been taught that and been told that, maybe that's a better word, we've been told that God loves us. If we haven't really experienced that, when difficult things happen in our life, we question about whether or not that is true. So let me give you an example. of a real life example, and then I can go back to why I believe this was how I wanted to address this. So I have a nephew, but he had this, his life kind of mapped out for him. He wanted to join the army and make a career out of the army. Well, just this last summer, he's young, he's just 18, he joined the army and was sent to boot camp. And while at boot camp, he tore a ligament in his shoulder. And now it's interesting with the Army or Navy or Air Force, any of those armed forces, they are looking for healthy, strong, mental, physical,
able-bodied
people.
Yeah.
And so when this accident happened while he was at boot camp, and it was going to require a surgery, there's a possibility now, it's not for sure, but there's a possibility now that he won't be accepted into the Army because he's had this injury and it could inhibit him from doing what he needed to do. Now, once you're in the Army and you have an accident, then they take care of you, no questions asked. But beforehand, they're just very, very selective. It's just part of their criteria. And so now he's looking at his life plan being totally upended, and he has no idea what to do next. And he's questioning whether or not God really cares about him, because this was his plan, this is what he felt called to do, and now it's not turning out. And so, does God really love me? Does he really care about me? And he's having these questions. And I think that that happens more often than not, is that we have, you know, when life hits us hard, we question what we've been told to be true. And so I wanted these girls to experience something that would help them work through those issues and work through that thought process before it happened to them in real life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So your goal then, I mean, it's kind of cool to hear you say that, because I mean, I think lots of us can relate to that story of my cousin, right? Where, you know, something happens and we're like, that's not the plan, right? How can God love me when that's not what I'm expect, that's not what I need. I think we can relate to that. And your point is everyone goes through those moments. Let's work through the, I love how you said that. Well, let's work through those thoughts. Let's work through those feelings. Let's work through this issue now in a safe spot when it's not really an issue, instead of later when it's a lot harder, right? When you want to be able to lean into that trust instead of question the not sure that God really is there.
When the stakes aren't so high, you know, I mean, this is life that we're talking about. This is my whole career, my whole pathway forward. And now he's questioning whether or not God really cares about him because it's just not turning out the way that he had envisioned it. And so I wanted these girls to experience something and kind of go through that thought process beforehand. So I thought I'm going to design this game with the idea that God loves us, you know, without no questions asked. But that doesn't mean that things will be easy, that we won't have trials, and that we won't have challenges that come up. And so I wanted the girls to understand that his love was not conditioned upon everything being rosy and great and happy all the time. Okay, so think about that. And then if that's kind of, well, isn't girls' camp supposed to be happy and fun and rosy and great all the time? And, you know, you want them to have a good experience. But I thought I'm going to design this activity so that there are aspects of this game that are not fair, that are not going to be, that are not going to turn out the way that they had anticipated. Because I want them to think about in their own lives, why is it that my friend has all the looks, or she's so smart, or why is it that my other friend has a great family and I don't, or why is it that I have to study so hard in school and they don't, or why is it that I have these mental or emotional problems and nobody else struggles with this kind of thing. So I just wanted them to realize that life is going to be unfair, but that doesn't change God's love for them.
So that's the, I mean, you're saying that, but you're also realizing that that's the paradigm shift you want them to have, right? Or that's the end goal. Like, that's kind of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the,
That's a takeaway or the
That's the takeaway or, yeah, the, anyway, my mind went blank. I can't remember the word I'm looking for. But yeah, but that's the end, right? That's what you're going for. That's the punchline, right?
Yeah.
The experience. And so you can't, I mean, just like what makes a good joke, you can't start with the punchline. That's not funny. So often we tell people, you know, God loves you. Life's not fair. But that doesn't mean anything, right? So you're now trying to design something that will actually help them where it becomes the punchline and not necessarily the what you're saying the whole time.
Yeah, I want them to feel it. I don't want them to just hear it. I don't want them to just – because we've talked about this, right? They know. They've heard from every Sunday school lesson, every young woman's lesson that God loves them, that they are of infinite worth. They have heard that over and over and over again. But I want them to experience what that means. Okay? So this is my goal. I want them to feel it. Okay. I want them to experience it. Okay, so I create this activity in different stations, and there's different things that they have to do to become a spy or to become a secret agent. And I stand before them as the headmaster spy and tell them that they have all been invited to come to this particular spy academy at this particular time, and they have a certain role to fulfill. And it is their mission, if they choose to accept, to go through these training scenarios to gain the necessary skills and the necessary knowledge that they are going to need to become a master spy. And that's the goal, is to become a master spy. So we have this scorecard, and every activity that they go to, they are going to be scored on, and they have to get over 75 points to become in the master spy category. They initially go to work on making their badges, and they have to learn a secret handshake and learn the secret password and all of these things to start their spy training. So it's pretty innocuous in the beginning. You know, nothing seems out of the ordinary or anything. And then they go to break them up into different groups, and they start going to these different training scenarios. So I'll just share a few of the training scenarios with you. The ones that not all of them had an element of this idea of life's not fair, but several of them did. So again, our goal is to be gaining points, right? We want to become a spy master. So one of the scenarios that the kids had to go to was a bomb diffusing activity. And this was with water balloons. And so we lined them up on two sides of a line, and they had to throw the water balloon kind of zigzag across the line, back and forth, zigzag up the line to the end. And if they were able to get the balloon up to the end without dropping it and breaking it, then they could put it in the bucket and it would be, the bomb was diffused and they'd get a point for that. They're working as a team, but if they drop a bomb and it breaks at their feet or whatever, then they're out and they don't get any points. So as they go through this game, obviously you're getting fewer and fewer members of your team that are in the lineup, and they have to keep stepping back a step, so it gets more and more difficult to keep the bomb alive. And if somebody throws a bad toss or whatever, it breaks at your feet, you're the one that suffers. You're the one that doesn't get any points, and you don't get to move forward. Okay, so that was one of them. Another one was, this one was, I think, probably our most unfair one. And this one was an obstacle course. And this obstacle course was, you had to have a partner, and then one of the partners would be blindfolded, and the other partner would have to guide their partner through an obstacle course just by word of mouth, just by shouting at them and telling them what to do. And they had to stay at a certain distance away from the obstacle course. So they couldn't touch them. They couldn't. It was hard to be heard because you had 6 or 8 girls going at one time. And all of these 8 girls are blindfolded, going through this obstacle course, trying to go through all these obstacles blindfolded. Well, to make it unfair, I would give about 3 of them, maybe half of the teams, a walkie-talkie. And with that walkie-talkie, they could hear clearly the instructions that were given to them, while the other girls had to shout and yell, and it was so much harder to be heard because they're competing with four other voices. Well, no, there would have been eight other voices because there's six to eight of them talking at the same time, some of them talking into walkie-talkie, but they're all talking, some of them shouting. And so there's this, you should have heard the girls are like, that's not fair. We didn't get a walkie-talkie, and so we weren't able to get as many points. She couldn't hear what I was saying. They were so mad. They're just like, it's not fair. We can't get as many points. And so it was just, I'm like, oh, you know what? That's how it goes sometimes. And so these girls were just like frustrated because they're like, how am I supposed to compete with them when they have an advantage? You know, I'm at a disadvantage. They have this advantage that I don't have. And they were just so mad about it. And I'm like, oh, good. This is exactly what I wanted to have happen. I wanted them to get mad. Now, that sounds mean, right? That you want the people that you love to be mad. Because I really do love these girls. But what I saw was a bigger picture. I knew that if they were mad and they were frustrated, what I had to tell them at the end would be more meaningful.
Yeah.
So I'm just eating it up thinking, huh, that is too bad. And then we had a couple of other activities where they were like shooting guns, Nerf guns, not real guns. We had Nerf guns. We were shooting at targets. And one group had like a six pack, like an Uzi gun, like it would shoot six bullets, one right after the other. And the other was just a single shot. And so, you know, there was some imbalance and inequalities there. So just throughout the whole thing, there were just times where you're like, this just isn't fair. And I heard that so often. This just isn't fair. So I believe that that's like life. I mean, Lindsay, how many times in your family do you hear, that's not fair, or I didn't get as much as Katie did, or Katie or Evelyn got to do this and I didn't get to do that?
Yeah, no, all the time, right? You have, you know, but she didn't have to do as much work as me. How come I have to do three chores and she only has to do two chores? And how come she gets to go to that activity and I don't? Right? Okay, right? All the time.
That happens all the time. When you're in a family, that happens all the time. And that's what I was hearing this day. In fact, I've since played this game again at our family reunion that we just had. And oh my goodness, they were even worse than...
Oh, I'm sure they were.
The girls' camp. Because they were family and they were awful about, well, she can't hear me, so I had to get closer. And I'm like, that's not part of the rules. You got to stay behind. And anyway.
Well, knowing that family, they're... A very competitive bunch.
Very competitive. And they did not want to have, somebody else have a one-up on them. And so there was a lot of consternation about it not being fair. And I found myself almost going into that trap, I think, as parents that we have, of trying to make it fair. And then I reminded myself, wait a minute, my whole objective here is to not make it fair. Well, she got, you know, she's little and so she needs extra help and she can't hear me from over there, or, you know, all of these excuses about why they should have special treatment, right? That is so life. That is how we feel. So anyway, that was what I wanted these girls to feel and experience, and they had that experience.
Okay. So then once they did that, then what do you do? So then how do you transition from that experience to having them get it, right?
Okay. This is where it's so important because, yeah, the experience could be one thing and they can go through this secret agent training and they can have a good time and it could be a lot of fun. But what I did is I brought them back together and I had them talk about what it felt like to have this unfairness. Was there, you know, what did it feel like when you saw that these people had the walkie-talkies and you didn't? And they're like, it wasn't fair. We couldn't compete with that. And I says, you know, why would I, as your spy master, make a task unfair so that you had a disadvantage? And they started thinking about that and they had some great answers. They're like, well, you know, life's not fair. Sometimes we have, you know, they talk about, we have different talents. We all have things that we're better at. We, you know, sometimes we have to to deal with difficult things. And on their own, they're coming up with all of these reasons of why someone who wanted them to succeed would actually put them in situations where they were at a disadvantage or where somebody else had an advantage over them. And so we talked about, okay, so what does that mean in real life? What does that mean to you? When you start, and I says, I took the scorecard and I says, this scorecard is how the world judges you. This is the world's view of you. She says, I don't care about this scorecard. And one of the girls says, well, then can I just rip it up? And I says, yes, just rip that scorecard up. And so she did. She just rips it up. And I says, this is not important. This is how we as human beings judge each other, is by this kind of scorecard. But as your trainer, I am looking at you to see your potential. And I am looking at you to see where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are, so that I can help you become well-rounded and trained in all of the areas of secret agent business. And I'm going to see how well you work as a team, and I'm going to see how well you communicate with others. And I am looking to give you opportunities to learn and grow. So why do you think Heavenly Father would, if he loves us all equally, why would he make life so unfair? And their little brains are just churning, because now they've just experienced that, right? They've experienced going through that in a game form, which was really fun, and they had a good time. But they're like, yeah, why would a leader, or why would somebody who loves me create something that is difficult? And then they get it. They see, well, there's things that we have to learn. We had to learn to work together. We had to learn that, you know, out in the field, we're not going to have, you know, maybe all we've got is a handgun and the other guy has the Uzi. You know, we just have to learn to deal with those inequalities. And so I said, so think about in your life, you know, what are the inequalities in your life and how can you choose to deal with them? And it was a large group, so it was more difficult to have a really good discussion when you have that many people. But I think the idea came across, and I think that they will think about that in the future as to, you know, when I start looking at myself as the world looks at myself and start comparing myself to other strengths and my weaknesses, I have to take a step back and say, you know what? They all had a tag that said secret agent. And I says, look at that tag on your shirt. What does that tag say? And it said, they all said secret agent. And I says, nobody can take that from you. That tag is yours. And the only person that can remove that tag is you. You are the only one that can convince yourself that you're not worthy to be a secret agent. Don't let that happen. I have given you that tag, and I believe in you, and I believe that each one of you can be this secret agent. And that is how your Heavenly Father is. He believes in each one of you, and he knows that you have what it takes to be a daughter of God and to return to him and to help him in his mission here. And as they experienced this, and then they thought about it in real life, they were able to make those connections, and those connections became more powerful. So, Lindsay, do you see how having a contrived experience, this was totally made up, could help prepare a child for a real life experience?
Yeah. No, I see that. I see, because there's things I love about what you're doing. One is that game, right? That game where it's, you're experiencing something in a safe environment, right? Where nothing, the stakes are low. Like you said, the stakes are low, and yet it's enjoyable. And yet you have those feelings. I think getting at those feelings is so critical, because those feelings of unfairness, those feelings that this isn't, you know, this isn't fair. This isn't right. This isn't, how can they love me? But they're making it easier for somebody else or harder for me, where you feel like the victim, right? It's very prevalent. And all of us feel that sometimes. And I can see how you experience that. And then what I love is that you didn't just tell them the answer, right? You didn't just tell them why this is important. But you asked them questions and you made it so that they had to figure it out themselves. And I think that when you ask those questions and say, you know, that question you asked, why would I, who want you to, you know, if I want you to succeed, why would I make this unfair or allow that to happen? And that's such a good question because it reinforces them or me. Like I found myself in that moment, oh, why would you do that? Like, even though I knew the answer, like I still am thinking through that, right? And those questions are such a powerful way for me to receive that testimony myself, right? It's not necessarily you bearing your testimony, but you're asking those questions so that I have the opportunity to then vocalize and bear testimony to myself why this is important. And that's just so powerful.
Well, and then it's something that you own, right? You've thought through that. You've kind of adjusted your paradigm as to what you believe. And the hope is that it helps prepare you for the time when you are going to be faced with that. You know, why, if God loves me, would he allow my plans to be sabotaged like this? I had my life all figured out. And now I don't know what I'm going to do. And I think as parents, there are so many, I want to just bring this back to parents because this was for Girls Camp, which is great. But, you know, if any of you have opportunities to share with the youth of your wards or your stakes, you know, this is such a powerful way to teach through these experiences, but it can happen on a family level too. And I want to just bring that back around because there's so many lessons that we want our children to understand that, you know, this idea of life isn't fair is just one example of something that you might want your child to understand. Maybe you want your child to understand that they can choose faith over fear, or maybe you want your child to understand that telling the truth is critical to their development and to their integrity and their, you know, people being able to believe them. Or maybe,
well, I'll tell you something that I want my kids to learn right now that I've been thinking a lot about.
What's that?
Is that you're in charge of yourself. Right? Quit worrying about what your sisters are doing and focus on what you're doing. Okay. Right? Or like,
yeah.
That's where I'm at right now. Where okay, I have one or two kids in particular that are just always complaining about what their sister's doing or not doing. It's like, well, you're not cleaning either. Like, don't get mad at them for not cleaning if you're not doing it yourself.
Okay, yeah, that's it. Okay, so you want your kids to understand that. So how are you going to teach them? Obviously, you can talk to them and tell them, you know, exactly what you just said. Well, you're not doing it. But what if you were to think through of an experience to help them feel what it feels like, you know, for them, and think, okay, how could I teach this in a way where they actually can understand why it's important that they worry about themselves only? And off the top of my head, I can't think of what that experience might be.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought, because I've been thinking about this now for multiple days, right? Because for weeks, I have been telling them this, right? Telling them to quit worrying about their sisters and worry about themselves. And it's not sinking in. And so, anyway, I've been thinking more and more about it. And here's my best solution so far. Haven't tried it yet. But this is my thought, is that maybe I give them like a little maze, like, or actually a very simple maze. Maybe even just like tracing out a star is all that they need to do. But I give everyone this paper and then like give them a mirror so that my daughter is looking at someone else's paper, but trying to draw her own star on her paper. Does that make sense? So the paper is covering her hand. Or the mirror is covering her hand, but pointed at my other daughter's star, so that she has to then try to figure out how to draw her star as she's looking at her sister's star. I don't know. That's one thought. The other thought was like doing like the beam versus mote in your eye, right? Maybe whether they're worried about, you know, trying to do something with their sister's trying to do something. They're trying to do something. Their sister has a little light in their eye and they have a big flashlight so they can't see. I don't know. I hadn't quite thought through that, which is why I wanted to try the star thing. So I don't know. So that's an example. Again, I haven't tried it. So I don't know. And I haven't, there might be better ways to do that. But that's my thought process, right? It's okay. I've been telling them this thing for weeks And it is not making a difference. So now we need to try something else. We need to have them experience it. What can I do to help them experience this idea that if they're focusing on someone else, they can't do what they need to do?
See, a perfect. I mean, I love that. That is such an important thing. And you have just iterated exactly the problem is that we can tell and tell and tell them, but it doesn't really change their behavior, right? We are trying to teach in a way that changes behavior, that transforms our children. And it's easy to tell them at the moment that when you're frustrated and they're making a big scene out of things, that that's not going to work. You can tell them that as many times as you want, that this focusing on someone else is not the answer to your problems, right?
Yeah.
And so if you can, I will tell you that this process of trying to come up with an activity or a way to help teach your children sometimes takes a little while, but I have experienced over and over again as I have gone to my Heavenly Father in prayer, help me see how I can teach this in a way that will be meaningful and powerful to those that I need to teach. So whether that's your children or whether it's a young women's group or whatever, Heavenly Father can help you see how to do that. And so Lindsay, I guess the challenge I give to you is to ask for that help, to ask for that insight as to how can I teach these children in a way that will help them understand they need to focus on themselves first and then try to, and then they'll be more forgiving and more helpful actually to the other person because they've already experienced their own difficulty of trying to take care of their own task, right? But I can say that there's so much power as we quit talking and start showing or helping our kids experience these things. Because talking is just going in one ear and out the other. It's something that they need to feel. It's not something that they need to experience so that they can make those connections themselves. And as parents, we can't wait. I think that, you know, the fact that this is a problem that you're seeing in your home, Lindsay, I think tells you that it's something that needs to be addressed. And so I think as parents, we need to be, you know, if we're intentional, we want to make sure that we are looking at those issues and say, okay, I'm going to try to address this now so that it doesn't become a bigger problem as my children grow.
Yeah, I love that. I think that that's so, such good insight. So I will. I'll take that challenge. I'll pray about that, and I'll say, okay, this is what we need to focus on. Help me know what kind of experience I can help them have that we can then use as a springboard for changing, for actually worrying about ourselves and not each other.
So yeah,
because you're right.
It's that transformational cycle, right? You have this experience, you talk about what that experience was, you personalize that. So what does that mean to me in real life? So how do I take this experience and connect it to me personally? And then how are you going to act differently? And as you help your child or your children go through those steps, the learning is theirs. You are just facilitating. You are just leading. You are making it possible for them to come to their own understanding.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Well, thank you, Mom, for sharing that that experience with us, how you went through it and what it looked like, and then challenging us to find, you know, to try to create something in our own home. Think about something that our children need and find a way to teach it, have them experience it so that we're not just telling them over and over and over again, but they're experiencing it and they can own that knowledge and try to transform. I appreciate that invitation and that, and sharing your experience of how you kind of stepped through that and what it looked like. So thank you, Mom.
Yeah. Well, everybody, that's it for this week. We appreciate your, listening. We hope to see you next week. Remember, your teaching matters.
Bye, everybody.